the song. I was going to have you play it, brother, but I might mess you up. So if I'm off key, then I won't have to try to get back on key. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth is his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled, and though this world with devils filled, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fail him. That word above our earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him within decided. Let earth, goods, and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. Father, what a joy it has been to be here already. I'm thankful, Lord, for the liberty, and once again, I just want to acknowledge the fact that I appreciate the gift of charity that, Lord, has always bestowed upon me and my family. And God, it's strength for the journey. It really, really is. I mentioned to Doc Caesar that this ministry has been a fuel for me concerning this particular ministry of gladiators. And Lord, you've used them, Lord, to inspire me and encourage me, to convict me, and to help me, Lord, to get things going. And I certainly want to do that, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for all of your provisions and the provisions that you provided through here. Now, God, in the next few minutes that I have, I certainly don't want to belittle the message. I know I can't talk, exclusively or elaborate on this armor, Lord, as some folks have a custom of doing, Lord, preaching on the armor of God 6-7 weeks at a time, if not more. Well, God, I just want to emphasize three things today. Who needs the armor? I already touched on that. What the armor is, and how to put it on, especially in these last days where Satan is out to wear out the saints, and he's doing a good job. Now, God, I surrender, realizing, dear God, that you resist the proud, you give grace to the humble. Speak, dear God, I pray, to me and through me. in Jesus' name. You know, lest I forget, I had said that I was trying to prepare a CD for you on just all hymns. And I was really excited because Adam had played a few songs for me a couple of weeks ago that we're going to add onto that CD. And so did Ivory. You know who that is, right? Doc Caesar. You're going to have to wait a couple of weeks. We'll get it to you before Christmas. Amen? I hope that's all right. I just wanted to try to emphasize that promise. And so why don't we pick up where we left off? We talked about who needs the armor. And if you'll turn with Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in context, this portion of Scripture applies mostly to the unsaved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We want to make a point here. Maybe let's go to verse 5. And you he quickened or made alive. How many of you know that if you're not saved, then the Word of God tells us that you're spiritually dead to God until you get saved. And when you get saved, he quickens you. He brings your spirit alive by his spirit. And you have you quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. This should be the testimony of those that were lost. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's the point I want to make here, and it has everything to do with this whole concept of, you know, who needs the armor of God? I've already determined that every person needs the armor of God. And the moment a person gets saved, God places that person and enlists him in his army. He gives us armor. Amen. So that we could have a defense and an offense against the enemy. Those people who have not received Christ as their Savior, they have no defense. And your life is controlled by Satan, according to the Word of God. The only way that you can have a defense against that is you got to get saved. You got to allow the Lord to quicken your heart, because your heart is deceitful by nature above all things and desperately wicked. And the only one that knows the heart is the Lord. And really, he's the only one that really wants it, because he's the only one that can do anything with it. He wants to save the heart. That's why he says, and my son and my daughter, give me thine heart and let your eyes observe my way. Watch what I can do with it. Amen. He does his best work in the heart of man. I believe that, brother. But anyhow, so does Satan. And if you're not saved, Satan is in control of your life. And unfortunately, if you're saved and you don't put your armor on, guess what? He's in control of your life too. We're no match for the enemy apart from Jesus and the armor. So as we consider this whole concept of who needs the armor, everyone does. And you have the armor, and really shame on us, folks, if we don't recognize that Christianity is not a playground. It's a battleground. We're in a battle, you know, we're a battle if we're going to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Once again, we be encouraged. We fight from victory, not for victory. Jesus has already given us the victory. What is the armor? Although the armor is pictured as being physical, it is not. It is spiritual. The physical aspect of the armor pictures at least two great spiritual truths. It pictures the characteristics of the living Word. Watch the distinction here. The living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me, I'm moving quickly here. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we go down to verse 14, it says the Word was made flesh. We're talking about the living Word. It became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. We're talking about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was God manifest in human flesh and now a glorified body. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 emphasizes that. Here's how the armor of God pictures the characteristic of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, if you're not there already. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Well, Jesus says of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Jesus is truth personified. I mean, it's not, Jesus is the truth, folks. Amen. Ephesians 6:14b says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6 says, and this his name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, if you turn there with me, please. I'm trying to make a point here. Who is this living word? Of course, it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 7, 5, verse 21. And he had made him to be sin for us, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, when you get saved, folks, over in Romans chapter 5, the Word of God says that God gives us his righteousness as a gift. And that's the only way that we can see, he can see us in, as we are in Christ with his righteousness. In another place, in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to work out what God has put into us if we want to live that righteous life. Jesus is our righteousness. He is righteousness personified. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of what? Jesus is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's our source of peace. Another place it says in Philippians chapter 4. And I really had to use this verse yesterday. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Having your loins girt about with truth. Jesus is truth personified. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is the righteousness of our God. He sets the standard for righteousness. He is the epitome of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, Jesus is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is a source of peace. He's the only one that can offer you peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I hope you understand where I'm going. If you're not there yet, I will take you there. Hang in there for a second. As we look at how This spiritual armor, this physical armor, pictures the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that have to do with putting the armor on? Hang in there. I told you I'm going to take you somewhere. Are you still with me? I'm not convinced. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It all begins and ends with him. Amen? And the helmet of salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation belongeth unto God. His name means Jehovah saves. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. If you want to be the only place that you can go to be saved, is you have to go to Jesus. He pictures the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. The point. If you're going to put on the spiritual armor of God, Satan doesn't tremble at the physical armor. We know that. That goes without saying. But he trembles at the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knows who he is. The demons cry out, we know that thou art the Holy One of God. He is the way, the truth, the life. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. He is our righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus is our peace. He's our source of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace that passes all understanding. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Man, we need to put our faith and trust in the living word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's power in that word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And take on the helmet of salvation. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He is my deliverer. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under men, heaven given among men, whereby you must be saved. You got to go to Jesus. He's the only one that can save. And the sword of the Spirit, Jesus is the living word. How does the written word picture the armor of God? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. John chapter 17, verse 7, 17, verse 17 says this. Sanctify them with thy truth. The written word is the truth. God's written word pictures the armor of God. Having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. The word of God is called the word of righteousness. Listen, if we're going to live right, man, we have to be in the word of God. We have to be obedient to the word of God. Otherwise, we're not going to live right. We won't know how to live right. You know that old acronym, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Folks, I'm trying to emphasize the importance of the armor and how it's related to the living word and how it's also related to the written word of God. Having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you turn with me. You know, this really, really coincides with the song we just sang. One little word. Thank you, my brother. True servant. Let's look at verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God, the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. The written word of God is the source of the gospel. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says this. He said, "And you think you have eternal life. It's the word of God is written of him. In the volume of the book is written of him." Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How does that relate to the written word of God? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes how? By the word of God. God's written word is our source of faith. And take the helmet of salvation. God's written word has the power to save our minds from satanic strongholds if we obey it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. Somebody tell me why I turned over to Hebrews. Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into obedience in captivity of Christ, having a readiness to revenge our disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Folks, if we are defenseless without being obedient to the word of God. The written word of God, if we don't obey it, we are defenseless against the enemy. I mean, this first attack against Eve and Adam and Eve was to try to turn the truth of God into a lie. The same M.O. He hasn't changed. Christians, if you don't understand the importance of the armor and how the Word of God pictures the armor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ pictures the living Word, the characteristics of the living Word of God, the written Word of God, being obedient to the written Word of God is our defense against the enemy. We're not only called to read it, but to obey it, to hide it in our heart, to obey it from our hearts. If we have any defense against the enemy, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is alive, is quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. How do you put this armor on? By putting on the characteristics of the living Word. Putting off the old man. Putting on the new man. According to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read through this and we'll be done in just a second. And then we can take inventory. What is my attitude about the Word of God? Do I see, understand that Jesus is the living Word? He is our truth. He is our righteousness. He is the source of our faith. He is our peace, the source of peace, the Prince of Peace. Salvation belongeth unto Him. He is the living Word. I'm trying to determine where to start here for the sake of time. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. How many of you know the Word of God says that the gospel is hid to those who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine on them? I'm talking about the Word of God. Who being past feelings had given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Here we go. This is how we put on the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life or lifestyle, the old man, the old sin nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And only a Christian can do this by the Spirit. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and we can take inventory. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. My brethren, we need to take inventory on, maybe you don't, but I do. As I consider, how am I going to have any defense or any offense against the enemy? Realizing that the physical picture of the armor illustrates two great spiritual truths, at least two. The characteristics that we're talking about here of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The living Word. And the written Word of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's another list, certainly throughout the Word of God, and particularly over in Colossians chapter 3. How do you put this armor on? You put off the old man, the old sin nature. Oh, it's not easy. But it's a worthwhile battle. As we yield, as we abide in Christ, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. To abide in Him means to, when you get saved, continue to remain in close fellowship with Him. Brother, I don't know if we've ever been more closer to the Lord than as a little child in the faith. Continue to remain in close fellowship with Him. How long? That's a good question. Until God enables you to bear the only fruit He produces, His Spirit produces, the likeness or the characteristics of Jesus Christ. His love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His meekness, faith, temperance, characteristics of Christ. You put those on, man. Listen, you're suited up. Where did that come? It comes from the written Word of God. You have to be obedient to the Word of God. Can you see how that's related to the armor? Putting on the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the living Word, by being obedient to the written Word. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Anything that exalts itself against God. Any act of disobedience is an assault against God because it's of the devil. He's the one that brought sin into the world. Adam bit into it. Being deceived by Eve. Casting down imaginations. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Brother, I have to cast thoughts down all the time. And you do well to do that as well. Otherwise, you know, they're going to take over. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into obedience. We used to sing a song. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. The joy we will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Satan's got no defense against the Word of God, folks. How do you put it on? It starts with prayer. Pray something like this, and I'm done. Adam, you can close off the service because I'll keep going. Well, but I enjoyed sharing the service with Adam. You know, he could have finished it off today. I would have gone home happy as a lark. But why don't you close it off, brother? Pray something like this. This is. I pray for this. I prayed this for you this morning. This church. Lord, would you please fill us with your Spirit so that we can be strong in the Lord. So that we can have our loins girt about with truth. So that we can dispel the lies, speak the truth in love and dispel the lies of Satan. Help us, Lord, to put on the breastplate of righteousness so that we can live right before you. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. By sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts and being ready to give an answer to every man for the reason of the hope that we have in us. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can use this shield of faith wherewith you said we were to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You can quench all of them. And help us, Lord, to put on the helmet of salvation by being obedient to the Word of God. And to skillfully use the sword of the Spirit the way you did when you had your day with the devil. Help us, Lord, to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. and so that we can speak boldly the gospel as we're suited up with the armor. Folks, those are the lessons that I hope to teach those young folks in the city while taking inventory, making sure that I'm suited up. Y'all pray for me. Please look up here for a second. I know that the enemy doesn't like what I'm doing. I feel like I got a great hedge about me right now. But I also believe that those hedges are going to drop. Y'all pray for me as I pray for you. Adam.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Lord, just put the scripture in my heart, Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. And that asks, what's the key? Man, let Christ's word dwell in your heart richly. But that's only possible if you're continuing in it.